This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Into hour number two of the program. Coming up in just a few minutes, our own Kevin Wheeler is going to be joining us as we have our weekly Friday baseball conversation. We need a better term for that. But you know what? It's going to be going away here in a week or so because we're going to have Cardinals baseball on most Friday nights. But we'll still get Wheels on here every once in a while for sure. So yesterday, the Cardinals announced the acquisition of Phil Maton. And there's been some reaction to it about the fact that if you're going into a year where you're talking so much about young players getting opportunities, and then you bring in a veteran player, and that's going to result in a younger player ending up back at AAA. And I think the guy that I think likely is without a job who would have been with a job if Maton wouldn't have been signed is Chris Roycroft. I think he's probably going to end up at AAA now, where before that he was probably the last guy in the bullpen. And I'm a big Chris Roycroft guy. I think he profiles out as somebody who can be a pretty darn good relief pitcher in the big leagues. So it's really easy to get like caught in the moment and be overly concerned about the young guys not getting the opportunities. I'll say this, and we'll talk more about this with Kevin Wheeler coming up in just a few minutes. This team is as much depth as this pitching team has from a pitching standpoint. They are going to run out of pitching at some point because every team runs out of pitching at some point in time. That's just simply what's going to happen. So, yes, might a Chris Roycroft or a Kyle Leahy Gordon Graceffo has already been sent to the minor leagues, as has Tekoa Roby. Is one of those guys, their spot on the opening day roster, not going to be there now? Yes, that's obvious. There's a guy, so he pushed everybody else back. But in the grand scheme of things, after Cardinals are done playing 162 games this year, we're going to look back and we're going to say everybody got their opportunity. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be other things that happen. Everybody is going to get their opportunity. Much more on the Phil Maton signing, the Cardinals' offensive struggles. We'll get into a few things. Kevin Wheeler, former host of this very program, now part of the Dave Glover Show. He wasn't on the DGS today, but he will be on Sports Open Line. That's coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue on into our final hour of the week's worth of shows. Coming up next week, it is the final week before Cardinals baseball starts for real. We are so excited about the beginning of the season, and we'll see what things end up looking like. Speaking of that, let's do our Friday conversation. Our guy Kevin Wheeler, of course, you hear him as part of the Dave Glover Show. He pops on here at Sports Open Line every Friday. Also part of the Gas House Gang. We do a lot of stuff. Kevin, always good to talk to you. How are you?
I just never stop talking, buddy. It's just like nonstop.
There you go. That's all right. We'll take it.
Hey, it's literally what I get paid to do, man.
Yeah, and that's and you're good at it. Yesterday we got so I had to kind of laugh because the MLBPA folks were in Jupiter on Wednesday, and man, they were giving it to the Cardinals about not having a single dollar spent on a major league contract unless the and look, there's no correlation between the two. It's just funny that the two things were butted up against each other on Thursday. Yesterday, the Cardinals finally make a move and they bring in a guy who does clearly make the team better and make the bullpen better in Phil Maton.
Yeah, two parts to this. I mean, I want to address the MLBPA thing first. Just shut up. If you're going to give a hard time to a team that never spends, great. Yeah. Go bother the A's and the Marlins and all those teams that never spend, or the Pirates for that matter. Don't bother the teams that are typically in the top 10 to 15 teams in baseball and in payroll because one year they want to change things up. I mean, it's like, okay, I mean, what's your point? Is your point that nobody can ever change gears at any point? Like, sometimes you're going to do things differently. I mean, like, one opportunity, you know, the opportunity that's not there for whatever $10 million starter they didn't sign can be a guy who establishes himself as a major leaguer and becomes a $50 million guy down the road. Sure. So that's, to me, where the union needs to get real, man. I'm on the union side most issues, but this is where they're just dumb. Just don't be stupid. And it's not about the Cardinals. Don't be bothering the teams that are generally spend. Bother the teams that never spend. You know, if you want to make an issue out of it. But as for Maton, I don't see a risk. I don't see a loss. Even if he stinks, you just cut him and move on. It's not that much money. It's not a long-term commitment. He's 32, so he's not old, and he's got a track record of being a really good, solid, consistent reliever. And you know, Matt, he used to be a guy that struggled badly against left-handed hitters. Had a big split, but last year that went away. Last year, he was about the same against righties and lefties, and he was above average against both. So this is a guy that doesn't throw hard. You know, you'll see him. He doesn't throw the four-seamer anymore. He used to throw that, I think, like 91, 92. But, I mean, his primary fastball is a cutter, and then he throws a bunch of curveball, sweeper, slider, sinker. He does throw the sinker. That's another version of a fastball, but he almost never throws it. But you're going to see him in the upper 80s, man. He's going to be 88, 89 with that cutter. He's going to be, you know, 74, 75 with the curveball. And that's why his stuff plays. That's why his cutter plays, because the curveball is his best pitch and it's so slow. It's a little bit like Waino's. It's a little bit in that way, right? Where it's such a difference maker and it looks so different and it's so much slower that it makes other pitches feel like they have more jump than they do. So I just don't see a downside to it. He's not a rock star. He doesn't make you a contender by himself. He's just a good pitcher.
Cardinals put a ton of value in having a veteran reliever in the bullpen who's not the closer. And because they that was part of the Andrew Kittredge role last year. I think some of us kind of roll our eyes at that, but that is something that they value. So they went out and they got a pretty good guy to fill that role. And yeah, you know, he's going to be able to pitch high leverage spots in the final three innings. He's going to be able to help. And look, we can roll our eyes at that, but Wheels, how often do we hear guys who were on the team when like Russ Springer was around and how much he impacted them? So I think there's some value to that.
I'm not saying there's no value because, I mean, one of my favorite stories is about Adam Wainwright moving into the closer role late in 2006 and Jason Isringhausen being the guy that helps him with it and walks him through it. I'm not saying there's no impact, but I would love to see like a 20-year rundown of your bullpen and how it performs based on who the veterans are and what roles they have. It's one thing if the veteran is like, look, Russ Springer was fun, man. He is a funny dude. He was a lot of energy. And in that way, he's good for the team and all that. I have a harder time buying that younger guys are going to pitch better, because there's a veteran there. And again, I like veterans in the pen because I think it's important to have known commodities. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like the bullpen is volatile. It's it can go up and down. So anywhere you can gain stability, I like it. I just feel like that's a thing that this particular team tends to overstate. It's not that it doesn't matter. I don't think that. I think, of course, it matters. I just feel like they overdo how much that part means because there are teams all over the league year in and year out that don't have that. And they're fine. Their bullpens are fine. Give me stuff over that. Give me guys that blow 100 and miss bats over giving me a guy who's just because he's been around is going to be, a positive influence on a guy. But again, I think it exists. I just don't know. Like, just as I think outfield defense matters, I don't think it matters as much as people in the game seem to think it does.
There is value, though, in these older guys knowing how to stay available. And that's one thing about Maton, that he knows his body and he knows what he needs to do to be available to pitch day after day after day after day. One of his greatest strengths has been his overwhelming ability to stay on the field. And I think when you're talking about young guys, especially, a lot of relief pitchers have basically been starters in the minor leagues. That's where you put your best pitchers in the minor leagues. It takes a little while for these guys to really understand what you need to do to stay healthy and be available.
Yeah. I mean, look at Maton's track record. This is one of the things that's a great asset about him. So he basically established himself as a big leaguer, a consistent big leaguer, after COVID, right? 2021 was kind of the beginning of him getting to be a full-time major league reliever. He did it during COVID too, but it wasn't a full season. So here's what he's done in those seasons since then. 65 games, 67 games, 68 games, 71 games. He definitely goes out there and he pitches. And maybe some of that has to do with the fact that he's not a big max effort guy.
Sure.
Mo referenced that yesterday a little bit that he's not out there trying to grunt every pitch out. So that may also play into that durability.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, look, if you go max effort, there's a higher percentage chance of you injuring yourself and it's harder to recover. So those two things mean you can't pitch as often. So it's
100%.
Pretty simple. Now there was a little bit of a discussion about this when Mo talked to the media. Guys like his profile, these veteran relievers who make themselves available, There's still a bunch of guys like that on the market. For some reason, baseball has shifted in a way where these guys just aren't getting signed. And he was very open saying, he had some non-roster opportunities in baseball and things like that, but there just wasn't much interest until this. And generally, when you hear about guys having not much interest, you go, well, what's the problem? I think in this situation, not much interest is more a reflection on the business place of baseball.
Yeah, it's such an interesting place that we're in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's probably not good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that's not good about the way people view, just the way people view. I'm not a guy that wants everything to stay the way that it used to be because I think it's impossible, right? One thing that doesn't happen in this world is the world never goes backward. Right. It never goes back in time. It always moves forward because the more we learn, the more we add to what we used to know. But sometimes at first, you're still thinking, not so sure about that one right now.
Yeah, and you feel bad for a guy like Maton who's done nothing but his job over the years and can't find a job until late.
Yeah. It was weird, though, because, you know, the 40 games he was in Tampa last year, he was pretty awful. And I wonder how much that worried people. He finished strong with the Mets, though. Like, with the Mets, he made 30 appearances, had a 251 ERA. The fielding independent was 257. So later in the year, he got back to being Phil Maton. But I don't know. You know how this is, man. I mean, like, it's what you outlined. Teams will not spend on anything until they have to, right? Where a guy like Maton 10 years ago has a job in December.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably got a 2 or 3 year deal given his age and his consistency. And now more teams are like, I got a 25-year-old who's kind of maybe a tweener and he struggles as a starter. We're just going to give him the job and see what happens because he throws 96.
I would say this: if I'm a baseball president of operations or final baseball decision maker, whether they have the Pobo title or the GM title in their respective markets, outside of a closer, I'm never giving a relief pitcher a multi-year deal. These guys fall off too quickly.
Never? Brian Abreu with the Astros?
No. If you're not my closer, I'm not giving you a multi-year deal.
I would. Yeah. Okay. But it's got to be certain guys, right? It's got to be people in a certain age range who I know are shut down people, right? So guys that when you put them in there, it's over. They're done. And basically what they are is they're secondary closers. Those are guys that, if your closer goes down, you shift this guy to that role and it's fine.
Like, but
it's
those guys are always available on the market every single year.
Not those guys. Not those guys. Like, again, I use Abreu as an example because he's not a closer, but he's mid-20s. He throws 98 miles an hour. He strikes people out. And if you made him the closer, he'd be a good closer. I would give that guy a multi-year contract if he's out there as a free agent at 28. Now, if he's out there at 32, I worry more about breakdowns and injuries and things along those lines. It's a sliding scale. So I would say my answer, or my way of putting it, would be generally I would agree with you, but I would never say never.
We're talking with Kevin Wheeler, our weekly baseball conversation, looking back at the week it was. We're now under 2 weeks from opening day. It's 2 weeks from yesterday.
Man.
It's coming up really quick. And the roster, I feel like the roster is coming together. You know, when they sign Maton, since then, Graceffo and Roby each end up being reassigned to the minor leagues. It seems like Leahy has an inside track for a job. There's still some competition with guys like Roycroft and Munoz. And, you know, it's still there's going to be some type of injury, probably, maybe, between now and the start
possible.
Of the season. Pitching injuries are so common during spring, and we're seeing that happen to other teams across baseball. It feels like guys like Lucan Baker and Jose Barrero have really solidified the inside track that they have on a couple of those bench jobs. There's not a lot. It just, this is one of those years where I feel like the intrigue on roster spots, it's going to take somebody either just giving a job away or somebody having a ridiculous 2 weeks for much to change.
Yeah, and really, it seems like, you know, so yesterday on the Gas House Gang, you and I and Bernie broke down what the bullpen looks like after Maton, and it feels like there's just two jobs that are up for grabs. You know, you've got Maton, Helsley, Fernandez, Romero, and King. They're all there, barring injury. Either Libertor or Mats, right? I mean, I know that Mo last Sunday told me they were very excited about Libertor as a starter, but then after they signed Maton, he kind of mentioned that it was leaning more bullpen. But either way, one of those two guys is going to be in the rotation. One's going to be in the bullpen. That leaves two spots, and that's O'Brien, because now that they've already sent Graceffo and Tekoa Roby down, we know it's not them. So it basically leaves O'Brien, Leahy, Roycroft, and Munoz and Anderson. But he hasn't looked very good, so no. I'm not sure he's winning a
his
job.
His last time out was his best outing, so
yeah.
You'd rather his most recent outing and not his first outing be his best one. But to your point,
but let's say he has three excellent outings leading up to opening day. He might still make the team. I mean, he could be a guy that earns that last spot, and you let the others go to the minors and keep working. But I think you agree with me, right? Like, I think that Riley O'Brien's on this team if he doesn't get hurt. I think they're super intrigued by what he brings to the table. He's 30, so you got to have to find out now, right? There's no long term for O'Brien. If he's going to help you, he's got to help you now.
And if he's not going to help you, like because the Cardinals are not the first team, Kevin, that he has not been able to gain traction with.
No,
like,
Seattle was the other, yeah.
Right. So if that's just who he is, well, then figure that out and move on.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he's thrown well, too, right? So, sure. A guy that's throwing well, who they talked a lot about positively last year, and a guy who throws upper 90s. They don't have many of those. I mean, Ryan Helsley does it. Fernandez is close, but not quite. Romero is close, but not quite. I mean, you know, another guy that throws 100 in the bullpen would be nice, especially with the other guys all having the freedom to go down. So barring Nick Anderson kind of making a push at the end to really solidify a spot, it feels like it's Leahy versus Roycroft. And I would say, based on our conversation yesterday, you seem to agree that Leahy would make more sense than Roycroft simply because he's more able to go multiple innings. And both of them are limited against left-handed hitting. So we kind of have a good idea now about the pitching staff with the Maton signing. I think we're pretty good on most of the lineup. I mean, the only question, Matt, wouldn't you say, is who plays center and how does that impact what the bench looks like, right? Because if Ciani is in center, or if Nootbaar's in center, well, Scott's in AAA, and then because he's not going to be a bench guy, and it all sorts out, right? So let's say they decide that Scott's not ready, and they're going to use Ciani or Nootbaar, but let's say we start off with Nootbaar in center. So Ciani would be on the bench. Baker looks like he's going to be there. Obviously, one of the other two catchers, so between Herrera and Pajes, whoever's not catching will be on the bench. So that's three. And it sounds like Barrero would be the guy for the other spot now, because Mo has said this consistently, and he said it to me again last Sunday. They don't want young guys that are still developing as prospects to sit. And that tells me Sajacy is going to be at Memphis.
Yep.
Barring an injury that's going to open up playing time, right?
Right.
So I think it's pretty clear that if Scott doesn't make the team, that's the bench. But what if Scott does? If Scott makes the team, that basically, for the days that he starts in center, that pushes either Burleson or Gorman to the bench. So one of them would be, again, barring days off for other people, but like opening day, it probably puts Burleson on the bench.
I would agree.
And that would mean you have Burleson, Baker, Barrero, and whoever's not catching. So I think we're really close to knowing what the roster is going to be.
Yeah, look, there's an extra spot on the roster if Scott doesn't win the center field job, because presumably Scott's going to be at AAA. So, but if Scott does make the roster, then Ciani's on the roster as your fourth outfielder.
I don't know. Is he, how? Who else? Who goes? I mean, because you have to have Barrero or Hellman or Fermin. You got to have an infielder. And I would say right now they seem to be leaning towards Barrero because of his athleticism and his positional flexibility and his speed, right? He's a really talented guy. You got to have a catcher, and if you're going to have Baker, which it sounds like he's in a spot, right? I mean, it's not a lock. Nobody has announced it, but you listen to them talk and you look at what he's doing. He sure seems like a guy that they're planning on having, and you have one spot. So if Scott makes the team, that's either Gorman or Burleson.
Yeah.
So if Scott wins the center field job, Ciani's got to be in Memphis.
You're like, all everything you're saying is correct. I just we've watched this team do what they've done, and gosh, they love Michael Ciani.
I know. I mean, the only alternative there would be sending Baker down, and I think that would be a massive mistake.
Yeah,
because,
I do too.
Because if Victor Scott is here, Ciani is useless. And I'm not saying that because I'm rocking the player. I'm saying if Victor Scott's your center fielder, you do not need a defensive replacement for that guy. If he's good enough to be your starter, you don't need a defensive replacement for that guy. And if Ciani's greatest value is defense, he doesn't help you as a bench player on this team.
I've watched enough Cardinals baseball to know that if Michael Ciani is on the team and Victor Scott II is on the team, we are going to see Jordan Walker out of the game late because they're going to go to a defensive replacement. Like they want to stress defense in close and late situations.
That's fine, but I are you sending Baker out? I mean, like, to me, that's a fascinating thing. That's because in the past, that's exactly what they would have done, right? Yeah. Last year. They would have exactly done that. They would have kept Ciani and sent Baker down without question because of the defensive versatility. But my question is, how many games is a defensive replacement actually going to win for you versus how many games can that weapon on the bench win for you to come in and get a pinch hit against a left-handed pitcher, to start against the left-handed starter? I mean, to me, defensive replacements are great, but I'll put Barrero in right field if I'm worried about that. You know, I'll find a way to put Nootbaar there and slide Donovan to the outfield before I'm that stressed out about doing that. Now, again, you're right, though. What they've done is exactly what you're describing. That's exactly the choice they've made in these last couple of years. And what I'm saying is, if they do that, they're blowing their chance to maximize offensive output for this team. They're blowing
it. Baker checks a box. He checks the box as a thumper off the bench who can be a give you a really good at-bat late in the game in a big situation. And they haven't had
or
that.
Or against a lefty starter. He'd give you two or three of them.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we've talked a lot about bench construction. It's not about getting the best players. It's about, like, checking boxes of qualities that you want
things
on
you
your
need,
roster.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what they need to do. And that's where I think it's going to be really interesting once this final roster is put together to be able to really break that down and see what.
Yeah, I mean, but it seems like these are the barring injuries, these are the only decisions.
Yeah, they are.
Right? I mean, it really comes down to, on the offensive side, what are they doing with center field? If Scott's going to win the job, then they have that discussion to have. If Scott's not going to win the job, then all they're going to have to sort out is how much Newt's going to play in center versus how much Siani's going to play in center. And the bench slots in very easily in that case.
Yeah, and the other battle that's going on that we haven't mentioned is, you know, the final spot in the rotation, which, if you believe the reporting out there, and there's no reason not to believe the things that folks like Katie Wu are writing, it's going to come down to Andre Pallante and Michael McGreevy. If that's the case, I say Michael McGreevy is likely to start the season at Memphis.
Can I just say, this is nothing against Katie, because I agree with you. Katie's reporting she's reporting things that she's learning. She's not making stuff up. Katie's really good. If they're not going to put Pallante in the rotation, I don't know what to tell you. What does that – he's 25 years old. He was your best starting pitcher in the second half last year. He's made 30 starts as a major league player with a 360 ERA. 30 starts and a 360 ERA as a major league starter. His other numbers are all bullpen numbers. As a starter, 30 starts with a 360 – I think it's 366 ERA. Why would he not make the rotation?
Okay, so
there's no argument for it. I mean, I know there's a team one. The argument should be, if you want that, then Matz goes to the pen.
Let
there's
me play
no
devil's
argument
advocate.
Where Pallante is not a starter in my world. I don't get it. It's a step backwards for the organization if they do that.
I agree with everything you just said, but I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a second before we get you out of here. Pallante's velo is down a tick or two. If they are legitimately concerned about that and they want to get that back up because they feel like his effectiveness is not going to be there, if he can't get his velo back to where it was last year, that would be the only answer that I can at least see making a little bit of sense. Now, I wouldn't agree with it. I'd put him in there, sink or swim.
Then he should be on the injured list.
Okay.
I mean, if they're worried about a physical reason for anything, then he should be on the injured list. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. Barring injured list type stuff, there's no argument. I love McGreevy. I want to see him get a chance. But, like, there's no argument that either Matz or Michaelis should be in this rotation over Pallante. None.
I think there's arguments. I think there are arguments.
Yeah, they're money. Yeah. It's money. It's not. I'm talking performance because he was better than both of them by a lot last year. Not even close. His ERA was 2 runs lower than Michaelis.
Sure.
And it's not like it's a small sample size when we're talking about 30 major league starts.
And for Michaelis, it's the last 2 years.
Yes, it's 2 years in a row.
So yeah.
I don't think it's going to go that way. I think they'll take the easy route, which is McGreevy at Memphis. Because it is the easy route, and you'll need him. Because, I mean, what'll it be, 4 weeks before Matz is hurt? I mean, we're talking about – this is the funny thing is we are – you and I and Bernie and Tom, all four of us, we've been talking about all these things on Gas House Gang. And it's hard for me to always remind myself, because I fall into this trap, that opening day isn't September, right? Like,
right.
A lot can happen between those two dates. So not having what we would look at as the ideal for opening day doesn't mean we won't have it in June or May or July, whatever. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So I totally understand that. And I do have to remind myself of that, Matt. I mean, you know, I mean, there are times I'm sitting here raving and then I'm like, yeah, but it could be that way after 3 weeks anyway, depending on, you know, how things go. So I would just be, I'm just shocked at the idea that anybody with the team is thinking about Pallante losing a rotation spot.
I just wonder if they're worried about the velo thing.
Again, then go get him checked out.
Yeah.
If you're worried, right. let's go for testing and see if something's going on.
Right.
Because that would be, yes, that's a valid concern. Like injuries or really severely diminished stuff.
That's Kevin Wheeler. Wheels, always good to talk to you. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you sometime next week. All right.
All right.
That's Kevin Wheeler joining us, talking all things baseball for our Friday conversation. We'll take a break, come back, hear a little bit from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. That's next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Just a little while left in the program. We are taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. The Gas House Gang from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock as we will have that for you. And then Rachel Zimmerman Show will be coming your way at 9 o'clock. And Rachel's actually going to join us in our next segment. Also, we're continuing to keep an eye on everything going on from a weather standpoint. So if anything breaks, we will certainly let you know about that. Want to do our daily fun with audio. As we hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, not a lot talked about today in his pregame media availability. Just a handful of reporters were there. Our own Tom Ackerman being joined by Derek Gould and Katie Wu. Just a couple quick things to get to real quick. First off, looks like Jordan Walker should be back in games very soon, as Marmol did give an update on his health status.
He's feeling really good, getting treatment right now. Our hope is that he's in a game tomorrow. Went through his progression, checked all the boxes, and he felt really good yesterday. Gave him the extra day so that he's able to go tomorrow.
Michael McGreevy making the start tonight for the Cardinals in the game against the Mets. And he gave up a home run to Juan Soto in his first inning. And just, you know, speaking generally about McGreevy and what he's done this year, he's really put together a solid spring. That might not be good enough to win him a spot in the rotation. He could very easily end up at AAA to start the year, but he is going to certainly be a factor at the big league level in the rotation this year. So many teams go through so many pitchers every year. So there's still a fair amount of time before even this spring training comes to an end. But even if everybody else, Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, Miles Michaelis, and Steven Matz, even if those guys stay healthy, clear that McGreevy is going to be a factor at some point this year. And Marmol talked a little bit about what he has seen from McGreevy so far here in spring.
A lot of what we've seen in the past, him committing to what gives him success, living on the ground, continuing to attack the strike zone, the pitch that he worked on a ton to lefties, continue to drive that as something that he's comfortable with, and his overall poise. I just, the more he's out there, I think the better he's going to get when it comes to the other things that go along with slowing the game down. He does it already at a pretty high level for being his age, and he's only going to continue to get better at it.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol speaking with the media earlier today as we are getting closer and closer. We are now less than 2 weeks out from the start of the regular season. And the schedule gets a little bit different here moving forward as they're going to spend some time in Memphis before they get to St. Louis. So they are playing this game tonight. They'll have a full week's worth of games coming up next week. And then they are going to play their final game in Florida two Sundays from now on the 23rd. They'll go into Memphis. They'll play a game against the Redbirds on Monday the 24th. And then they get into St. Louis, have a couple days, and they get set for the season opener, which is going to be on the 27th. We will take a break. And when we come back, our good friend Rachel Zimmerman will join us. Preview what's coming up tonight on the Rachel Zimmerman Show, and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. That's in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We do start to wrap up this Friday edition of the program. And since it is Friday, that means tonight the Rachel Zimmerman Show will be coming your way 9 o'clock. So we'll do Gas House Gang for the next hour from 8 to 9. And then Rachel will take over. But before she officially takes over with the Rachel Zimmerman Show, she joins us right now. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Matt. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. We haven't had one of these little crosstalks in a while. And we're not going to have many moving forward because the Cardinals will take over KMOX at nighttime moving forward.
I I know this is a precious moment.
Yes. So for those out there who are listening, who are very big time avid fans of the Rachel Zimmerman Show and tune in every single Friday night at 9 o'clock, moving forward when there's Cardinals baseball here, how can they go find your show?
They can find me anywhere you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app. Just search for the Rachel Zimmerman Show. And a lot of times they play us on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 5 p.m. too. So if there's not a Cardinals game going on at that time, you can catch the show on KMOX still, which is nice.
Yeah. What do you have coming up on the program tonight?
So tonight is actually a replay. It's 314 day, so I wanted to do something very St. Louis, and I'm replaying my episode I did with St. Louis Magazine food and dining editor George Mahey. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of compliments on this episode because people love George, and we really just kind of delve into his backstory and learn how he got to the position he's in today. So it's a really good one. I'm excited for people to hear it if they haven't heard it already.
George was on with you guys today because what's the Golden Cod? Is that the award?
The Golden Cod is the trophy you get if you win the Catholic Fish Smackdown on the DGS. So every Friday during Lent, we have a different parish come in and bring their fish fry wares, and it's really, really fun.
I had a big lunch before I came in today, and I was so bummed because like I was so full, I can't eat anything, and I'm listening as I'm driving in, and I go, there's going to be fish, and it's going to be really, and I hear them talking about this amazing fish,
yeah.
And then I get here, and I'm just, I literally cannot eat. I'm so full.
I know. I just polished off a couple of the shrimps myself from Holy Trinity in Fairview Heights. They have an amazing fish fry, so it's pretty awesome today.
How long do you guys do that for?
Every Friday during Lent, so we'll go till Good Friday.
Okay. Very, very good. I always connect you to Kara Spencer because the first time I really heard Kara Spencer talk for a long, long time was when she was on with you.
That was the first episode of my show.
So that
was
over a year ago, right?
Oh, yeah. That was 2023. We've been doing this 3 calendar years now, which is crazy.
So obviously she did pretty well in the in the election. And now she'll go up against Tashara. They had the debate that we aired on KMOX last night, the Channel 2 did. And it's just, I got to tell you, like, I know I've brought her up a few times with you, but literally every time I hear her talk, I have such a positive feeling about her. So much, so largely built upon my conversation I heard you have. So more than anything else, it just shows kind of like the power of radio and the power you have and things like that, because you were able to create like this long lasting memory. Thanks to, you know, obviously Kara had something to do with that as well.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, she's amazing. So that makes sense. But I really appreciate you saying that, Matt. That makes me feel really good. And she was an awesome first guest. I'm very proud of that.
Well, so Rachel Zimmerman Show tonight, it is going to be from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Find it on all the podcast platforms. Listen all week long to KMOX. You might hear it again. Rachel, always good to see you.
Good to see you, Matt.
That is Rachel Zimmerman. Again, listen to her show coming up this evening at 9 o'clock every Friday night, various other times across the weekend. And of course, you can always listen to the podcasted version wherever you get your various podcasts. And of course, she's part of the Dave Glover Show as well. That is going to do it for this edition of Sports Open Line Gas House Gang. Today is Tom Ackerman from Florida and Bernie Miklas. So be tuned in for that for the next hour leading into the Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'll be with you a little bit next week. I'm also got some time off next week. The calm before the storm that is right before the baseball season gets started. So you'll hear some other voices during Sports Open Line next week in addition to mine. But have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you at some point next week right here on KMOX.